All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Members of the day are Chris Hale and Linda Knowles. Thank you guys for supporting the show, and you get the whole 2-hour show commercial free, of course. TYTnetwork.com/join. Members also get extra shows, including Aggressive Progressive, which you'll get a little bit later this week, and Old School. We're going to do that live at 9 o'clock Eastern today. It's Old School, Old School, just me and Ben, right before Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk about classic old school stories like underrated food, and we're going to talk about gaslighting. What is gaslighting, and what are my thoughts on it? Okay, so those are just, if you know old school, it's fun, relaxed conversations like in the old radio days. So members get all that at tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, two tweets for you guys. The Murphy writes in: white Republican accused of sexual misconduct. Trump denies and still supports him. 5 black/Latino men proven innocent for rape. That's the Central Park 5. Trump wants to bring back the death penalty. One more notch in racist column.
That's after they were proven innocent.
No, like, that's the amazing part. He wanted the death penalty for them when they were first accused. He took out a full page ad. After they were proven innocent, decades later, he said no, they should still be punished. After they were proven innocent, and then we caught the actual guy who did it with his DNA, he's like, "I don't care." I mean, what a monster! What a fucking monster! And then on the other hand, you have a child molester, and he's like, "Oh, good, he's going to give me," but he's going to vote for money that goes into my pocket. I don't care that he molested your kids. Oh, he's such a monster! All right, Riley Grady says, "Roy Moore, if he gets elected, we can just refer to him as the Predator from now on." Yeah. And I don't, yeah, anyway, I hear you. Bill I always screw this up. Bill O'Falafel on YouTube Super Chat writes in, I stood outside an NFL stadium with a Bernie would have won sign yesterday, and I got called every derogatory word you can think of. Probably got it from the Hillary people as well as the Trump people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But I admire your courage. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. New evidence indicates how and why Harvey Weinstein worked with certain tabloid media outlets in order to smear women and journalists who would come out against him with sexual assault allegations. Now, this is something that Ronan Farrow has really brought light to, and he's done really excellent reporting here. But I wanted to share the story with you and outline exactly who Harvey Weinstein worked with and how he managed to create these campaigns to smear women and journalists who might come out against him. Now, Weinstein had hired private security agencies, including one called Black Cube, run by former Israeli intelligence officers, and another called PS Ops in Los Angeles to keep tabs on actresses and journalists. He also enlisted journalists in his campaign to investigate and discredit not just accusers, but other journalists, specifically other journalists who would have the audacity to do reporting on, you know, his predatory behavior.
So I want to say two quick things here before we tell you the rest of the story. One is that you know that you might be doing something shady if you're going with a company called Black Cube. Like, these guys have a way of just like saying what they are, like Blackwater, you remember?
Yeah,
they're
yes.
Like, who names themselves Blackwater, right? And so these guys are Black Cube, don't worry, we're gonna do something shady. The other guys are PS Ops, like PsyOps.
Yeah.
Like, here, we're over here, if you wanna do shady, well, I don't wanna say criminal, you don't know. They might be perfectly legal and they're probably careful about that stuff. But if you'd like to do shady stuff, we named ourselves, it's like naming yourself Shady Incorporated.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, now, by the way, you gotta know that Weinstein is not the only person doing this. First of all, Trump has used these same National Enquirers you're about to see. Because National Enquirer is part of this story, but Trump has also used them to smear opponents, including Republican opponents. Remember when the National Enquirer ran the story about how Ted Cruz had 5 mistresses? Like, 5 women would sleep with Ted Cruz. There's more chance that the National Enquirer story about aliens landing is correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, and a lot of Hollywood does this. When journalists go to report on any kind of sex scandal or anything else, they will send these guys out to threaten other journalists.
Yep.
So, but now we get to find out because of the Weinstein scandal how it works.
Exactly. So, let me give you some context before I get to specific email exchanges that Weinstein is included in. So, one of the efforts was to smear Rose McGowan. And apparently it was discovered that Rose McGowan had some sort of relationship with a director named Robert Rodriguez, okay? Robert Rodriguez was married at the time to a woman named Elizabeth Avalon. And Weinstein knew that, and he realized that they had divorced and decided to hire opposition researchers and certain reporters to kind of dig into that issue and figure out if they can get some, bad information or information that showed Rose McGowan in a negative light. And they did manage to do that. So there was a reporter named Andy who reached out to Elizabeth Avalon, again, who was married to Robert Rodriguez. They're now divorced. And there was a rumor that he had some sort of affair or sexual relationship with Rose McGowan. Now, one of Weinstein's foot soldiers was Dylan Howard, the chief content officer of American Media Inc., which publishes tabloids, including the National Enquirer, where Howard also serves as editor in chief. So, all of a sudden, this reporter named Andy, who is associated with all of this, goes to talk to Avalon and starts, pushing for answers regarding Rose McGowan's character. That information is then relayed back to Howard, and Howard tells Weinstein, I got some dirt. In one of the email exchanges, Howard says the following, I have something amazing, Howard gushed in an email to Weinstein. My guy spoke with Elizabeth Avalon. She is a good talker. He went on to describe unflattering things Avalon had said about McGowan during her conversation with this reporter, Andy. Right? Now, we have screenshots of these exchanges between Weinstein and Howard. Here's an example of it. Weinstein responded to that email by saying, this is the killer, especially if my fingerprints are not on this.
Oops.
And Dylan Howard responded, they are not, and the conversation between you and I is recorded.
I don't know how
that's a good thing, but.
Yeah, I think that he's saying, like, we have mutual dirt on each other, so
right.
We're cool.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's my interpretation of it. But don't worry, your fingerprints won't be on this, as we just now talk about it on a national level. Apparently, your fingerprints were on it, Harvey. And that's the thing, you get into bed with guys who are doing shady stuff, at some point, they're going to turn the shady stuff against you.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, they never explain who Andy is. Andy's a guy that they, contract out to, who poses as a reporter, and he gets you to confide in him.
Yeah.
And she keeps asking, like, Avalon, poor woman, she's like, I don't want to say bad things about my husband. I want this to be off the record. I don't want to talk about this.
But to her credit, she didn't want to say negative things about anyone, including McGowan, even though, it was clear in some of her statements that she's not a fan of McGowan because of this, alleged relationship that Robert Rodriguez, her ex-husband, had with her. But nonetheless, she's like, look, I have a great relationship with my ex-husband. I have 5 kids with him. I care about my children. I don't want to say any negative things. But this so-called reporter, Andy, was so persistent. He was relentless that he got a little bit of a negative comment from Avalon. And that was the so-called, like, oh, this is the killer, you know.
So he apparently works on behalf of Andy does, on behalf of Coleman Rayner. And that's a Los Angeles-based news and photo agency that works on stories for various tabloids. So, but remember, this story was not necessarily going to go to print. They just wanted information that they could use to maybe even threaten her and say, hey, we know that this stuff about you. So these guys pose as journalists when they're actually in an unofficial way looking to blackmail people.
Yeah.
Now, legally, that might not be blackmail, but they're trying to get dirt on them so that a powerful person who has done terrible things to them can cover up their crimes. And in the case of Harvey Weinstein, it was crimes. And so this is how they, in a lot of ways, ruin journalism. And then they use it to threaten other journalists that are actually doing their jobs.
Right, absolutely. And by the way, so again, going back to the question that you hear over and over again from people who are suspicious of any and all allegations that are made, this is the reason why women don't speak up right? This is one of the reasons why women don't speak
up.
There's just so much retaliation that can be taken against them if they are, you know, accusing someone who is in a position of power. You're talking about Harvey Weinstein. He has every resource at his disposal. And now we have evidence of how he would smear people and threaten them so they wouldn't speak up, including journalists.
So some people say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory.
But there's evidence.
Right.
I mean.
No, that's what they would say in the past. Like, oh, why would anybody want to smear a victim? Because their ass is on the line and they have a lot of money and power, so they go hire Black Cube and I'm a Bad Person Incorporated.
Yeah.
And they go, and then yes, it is an actual conspiracy. They work together to make sure they smear any woman that comes out. That's why they don't come out. Because somebody will go to destroy their careers and their lives if they do. Now you know the reality. And so all of these guys, whatever their political proclivity is, whether it's Weinstein or Trump, they're such bad guys who go do this to just, not only did they do the scummy things in the first place, then they go to destroy their victims.
Right, to protect themselves so they can continue victimizing other people who are not in positions of power. It's disgusting.
And now you know how power works.
Yep. All right. Larry Nassar, the notorious USA Gymnastics doctor who has now faced countless allegations of molestation, has pleaded guilty in court. Now he is also facing a federal trial involving possession of child pornography. But in this case, it has to do with the gymnast that he victimized throughout his tenure as a USA Gymnastics doctor. Nassar pleaded guilty on Wednesday to 7 counts of first degree criminal sexual conduct and admitted in a Michigan court to using his position to sexually abuse underage girls. Number of women have come forward, including Gabby Douglas, the most recent accuser, and I'm forgetting her name right now. I apologize. Ali Reisman is another example. So it's nice to finally see a little justice in this case. And he also issued an apology during this trial that I want to show you. Let's take a look.
I think this is important, that what I've done today to help move a community forward and away from the hurting and let the healing start. That's a couple of things that I could do to stop the hurting is this. And I think that's important for all those involved, and that I'm so horribly sorry that this was like a match to turn into a forest fire out of control. And I pray the rosary every day for forgiveness for their, I want them to heal. I want this community to heal. I have no animosity towards anyone. I just want healing. It's time. So you know, I guess that's the biggest thing is it's we need to move forward in a sense of growth and healing, and I pray that.
What do you mean you have no animosity towards anyone?
Yeah, like no one cares about your animosity.
Yeah, there was 125 victims, a lot of them underage, a lot of them under the age of 13. No one cares who you have animosity towards. And Judge Rosemary Aquilina, made a great point. She said, it may take them a lifetime of healing while you spend your lifetime behind bars thinking about what you did in taking away their childhood.
Yeah.
She's absolutely right. His sentencing is going to come later, and it appears that it is going to be significant.
Right, exactly. Especially when you consider the fact that the 125 victims who reported these assaults to the state of Michigan will be able to share their impact statements in order to influence the judge's decision in sentencing. Although, again, the judge seems pretty confident in giving him a long sentence. Nassar is also awaiting sentencing on federal charges of receiving child pornography, possessing child pornography, and a charge that he hid and destroyed evidence in the case. So.
So luckily he's in for a world of hurt in terms of the amount of time he's going to get in prison. The details are gruesome as usual in these cases. These young girls, so young, and he undresses them and fondles them under the guise of being their doctor. And as Ali Reisman pointed out on Twitter, She said she doesn't even want the court referring to a doc, him as a doctor. She says Larry's a monster, not a doctor.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some international news. New video shows a North Korean defector who managed to escape, even though he was shot 5 times in the process of doing so. This was a 24-year-old member of the North Korean military, and he did defect, and he did manage to cross over to South Korea, and he is receiving medical attention at the moment. He's expected to survive, but the story is insane, especially when you take a look at the video. Take a quick look at that.
You see the North Korean military jeep speeding past checkpoints, heading towards the border with South Korea. Inside, the soldier bent on defecting. As he gets closer to the demilitarized zone, North Korean soldiers reacting from their post, scrambling towards the vehicle. Once the jeep crashes into a ditch near the line that divides the two nations, he sets out on foot, running. As the North Korean guards begin shooting, dozens of rounds fired at the defector, even as he crosses that crucial line to freedom.
At some point there, the North Korean soldiers see him and see what he's doing, and they start firing at him, multiple rounds, and hitting him, and he still survives enough to crawl to safety to get behind a wall.
Critically wounded, shot 5 or 6 times, heat signature from cameras show 2 South Korean security forces crawling towards the defector to carry him out and evacuate him to a nearby medical center.
So that is great, great footage, great report by ABC. Check out the link down below for the whole report.
Yeah.
And look, man, that's the fight for freedom. That was amazing.
Oh my God, that
he took 5 bullets for freedom. They later took a day later. They fly him to a hospital down past Seoul, South Korea. And they removed 5 bullets from his body.
Yeah, they did remove 5 bullets from his body. And just to give you some more information of how many times they shot at him. According to reports, the soldiers fired at him about 40 times, hitting him with bullets from both pistols and an AK-47. Also, keep in mind that there was the demilitarized zone that he crossed into. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the North Korean soldiers, based on a ceasefire agreement, are not supposed to be shooting at him, but they did so anyway. And so now there's an argument that they violated the armistice agreement between the two countries. I don't think North Korea cares at all, right?
But look, if you start firing into that zone, you yeah. are really risking war. And they did fire into the zone, which they're not supposed to. And they actually physically crossed over as well.
Yes.
So North Korea has a lot of bluster, and they do a lot of missile tests. But generally, they don't cross that zone. If they do, then obviously South Korea is going to cross it back, and then we're back in the middle of a war. So that it was a dangerous moment there. Mm-hmm. I think that what they found in the soldier, other than the bullets, is in some ways more amazing.
Oh no, it's insane.
Gives you a sense of what's actually happening inside North Korea.
So doctors discovered a large number and multiple forms of parasitic worms. Some of these parasites were as long as 27 centimeters, about 10 inches long. One type of worm they discovered is typically found in dogs. And the photo that I'm about to show you is of the parasitic worm. So if you're uncomfortable with that, I just want to give you that warning. But with that said, here's a photo of what the doctors pulled out of his intestines. Okay. So they also found out that he is suffering from hepatitis, and it's a form of hepatitis that usually spreads from unsanitary hospitals and things like that.
When they use syringes, they shouldn't use needles, etc. So it turns out that a shocking percentage of the North Korean defectors have parasitic worms in their body. Part of the reason is they use human manure for farming, which you're not supposed to do. And there is easy things you can do to avoid these worms, but they don't have any money. They have nothing. So in one case, they did a study of North Korean defectors. And of the women they studied, I think it was all women, 7 out of the 17 had worms in their bodies.
Oh, it's so sad.
And about 10% of the defectors so far have hepatitis B. Mm-hmm. And it's because they don't take normal precautions that anywhere else in the world that you would take, because North Korea is basically one giant concentration camp. There's 25 million people that live in North Korea. They're hostages to Kim Jong-un and the ruling class in Korea. It is a horrific, nightmarish scenario. And these people are, and some guys like this, and by the way, his last name is Oh. Mm-hmm. We don't know what his first name is. We know it's not Steve. Mm-hmm. But people like him are willing to get shot over and over again and risk their lives to just get out of that hellhole.
Yeah.
So North Korea is one of the most intractable problems on the planet. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you start hostilities with them, they could launch all their missiles and kill millions of people at a bare minimum in South Korea, let alone the 25 million people who will get hurt when South Korea, Japan, the United States counterstrike.
Right.
And killing the North Koreans, like Lindsey Graham recently flippantly talked about, hey, you know, it's no big deal, right?
Yeah.
No, you're killing people in a concentration camp. Bombing the North Koreans is terrible. On the other hand, they have enslaved these people for decades. Millions of people suffering under unimaginable circumstances. And so I love to do constructive critique, not just blindly say, oh, that person's bad or that situation is terrible and not give you an answer. But North Korea is a very difficult situation with not a lot of great answers. And I know that war is not the answer. Okay, mm-hmm. I think the answer is to apply every kind of diplomacy we can to China, which is the only country basically propping up the North Korean regime.
Yes.
And by hook or by crook, we need to get China to agree with us to somehow, without having the North Koreans launch, take out the leadership and free those people. But it is a very, very difficult problem.
We got to take one more break. When we come back, some fun news, including the man behind Reading Rainbow. He's being attacked by Trump supporters. I'll tell you why.
But it's not at all racial, as you'll see.
Come right back.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Couple of tweets. Marcel Chenier says, "Amazing dress, Anna."
Thank you.
Wouldn't normally comment about that sort of thing, but it is super cool. Vintage, Marcel asks?
No, it's not. It's one of my favorite clothing designers. I don't even want to mention the name because someone's going to find something wrong with it. So I'm just going to, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Riley Grady says, that dude, a fucking Korean Terminator, go baby go. Okay. And I wanted, I found the sweater. Can you guys bring that up? So shoptyt.com, it's Black Friday's coming up. We're doing a 10-day sale. So there is day 8, limited edition, Christmas TYT sweater.
Fun.
Okay, and now.
You said Christmas jank. Unacceptable.
It says Christmas in the graphics too. Bill O'Reilly should be ecstatic. Now I gotta have it. It's a TYT sweater. Mm-hmm. It's a TYT Christmas sweater. How do you not have that?
I like sweaters.
ShopTYT.com. And by the way, if you want deals texted to you, 228466. You text deal. I always get confused by this, but you text deal to 228466. Or just go on ShopTYT.com. There's sales, and that's the whole point of the 10-day thing. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Donald Trump has been feuding with a well-known father in the basketball world, LeVar Ball. Now, LeVar Ball has sons who are playing college basketball at the moment, and one of his sons was arrested in China for shoplifting. Now, Trump claims that he managed to get LeVar Ball's son, along with two other players, back to the United States after they were detained in China, and Trump wanted thank you from LeVar Ball. Ball has refused to thank him, and it is the most nonsensical feud ever imaginable. It's annoying. I hate even talking about it. But something has come out of this that I thought was interesting. Trump supporters are upset that LeVar Ball refuses to say thank you to Trump. And so they are taking to Twitter to attack LeVar Ball, except they are mistaking LeVar Burton for LeVar Ball. LeVar Burton is a completely different person. He is, you might remember him as the host of Reading Rainbow. That's how I remember him from my childhood.
Does seem pretty offensive.
He's a delightful person. But I want to keep
I, of course, remember him from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, he was in Star Trek?
Oh, yeah.
That I wouldn't know about. But Reading Rainbow, I remember. Just take a look. It's in a book. Oh, that was such a great show.
I loved how in Star Trek, they have like they had okay graphics back then and stuff. But they just took like a hair comb, not a comb, but like the thing that you put together and made it his eyepiece. Like,
did they really?
Yeah, he's blind, but he can see because of the hairpiece on his head. Geordi LaForge on deck. Anyway, so hilarity ensues.
Okay, so here's what some of the tweets said. Okay, one person says, "You're a has-been actor with a thief for a son, and Trump is the president of the United States. Get the picture."
I'm not sure you got the picture, Mark. Okay.
All right, another person writes, "Washed-up actor, check. Son caught stealing in China, check. Trump still president, check. But none of that is true, huh? LOL."
What? Yeah, actually, one of them is not true. You know, actually, two of them are not true.
What's interesting is like there's some portion of Trump's base that like they don't care what Trump does. Like they just they love that Trump is president, so they can say that Trump is president. Like they get off on that. I don't get. Okay, yeah, he's president.
Yeah, you know that's. Our problem is that we, or maybe our solution is that we don't think like the right wing. So if we thought like them, the entire 8 years of Obama, everything would have been like, but Obama's president, what now?
I know.
Like, which you almost never saw anyone do like, oh yeah, what happened to Mitt Romney? Right? Like, it's in the past, we're done with it. But they never, like, this is the only thing they have to cling on to. The last one I think is the worst. But before we move on to that one, this similar thing happened to me yesterday, where a guy on Twitter said, "Oh, Anna and Cenk don't understand anything about finance. These dumbasses wouldn't even know how to spell derivatives," and he spelled derivatives wrong, which was just awesome. I mean, it is Twitter 101.
Yes.
So this guy's like, "Oh yeah, I got my facts right. You got a son for a thief, you know, a thief for a son." No, you don't have your facts right. And but you like to rub it in anyway. Just buy a clue before you go on Twitter. That's all.
I hate Twitter. Twitter, I feel like Twitter is just like one big example for why you should just give up on humans, right? Like it's like a collection of the worst people on the planet all in one place. And then like you'll get sprinkles of like interesting smart people that have funny things to say, but the vast majority are like, I have nothing to do with my life, so I'm going to Photoshop stupid shit all day and think I'm funny.
No, anyway, I hear you. One last thing on that and then we'll get to the worst one. So look, it is like the internet in a lot of ways, the best of us and the worst of us. So there are great funny stuff that happens on Twitter. There's really smart comments that happen on Twitter, etc. And you get to stay connected with people that you care about. But yes, especially if you're like us and you live on the internet and you've got a lot of haters on the internet, Twitter, sometimes I just, everybody thinks that I'm on Twitter all the time because they're on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
But I actually just go in and open the door like, once in a while.
You like crack it open a little bit.
Yeah, I just crack it open and I look.
Same here.
But it's like going on the whole time and they think I'm in the room and I'm not in the room. And sometimes, most of the times, I now open the room and you have a bunch of lunatics screaming in the room.
No, no, no. Right? I mean, in a lot of ways, it's actually flattering, right? Like if you can get past like the juvenile insults or whatever, like there are people who are having nonstop conversations about you while you're out there living your life. Like it's kind of flattering. So I'm
also
amused
kind
by
of frightening. Yes.
Yeah, I know. There's
because
a lot
every
of
time you open the door and you see like they're like gnawing at each other's like bones and stuff, and they think that you're in the room.
I know. It's so good.
It is a little bit of madness. Anyway, okay. The last one.
And then Stephen Epps writes, "You sure don't do much for the black cause with your unlawful, ungrateful parenting skills."
See, they had to make it racial, right? It's not just that LeVar Ball, the actual person who was ungrateful to Trump, is ungrateful. It's not that Trump did a good thing. It's that you're black.
And by the way, like, You guys don't find it a little problematic to like pressure people to thank others? Right? Like, why aren't you thanking the president? Thank the president. What? Thank the president. Just what? Can you imagine if that happened in the Obama administration? First of all, can you imagine if Obama ever even like took credit for something? He wouldn't take credit for anything. You know what I mean? And so can you imagine if he was like as boastful or even a fraction as boastful as Trump is? Oh, they would lose their minds. They would can you imagine if Obama went to a small town in the South where jobs increased a little bit and he was like, you guys should all thank me. How come you guys aren't thanking me? Everyone should thank. I mean, come on. Just please for a second think about the shoe on the other foot. This is absurd behavior by any president. Don't care about your ideology. Don't care about your political party. You should not be wasting your time demanding a thank you from LeVar Ball.
Okay, last two things on this, because so Trump, look, LeVar Ball and Trump had a clown off, and they got into a circus, and they're like, okay, who's gonna be the bigger clown? So look, if I'm LeVar Ball, I go, hey, I'm super happy that my kid's back, wonderful, okay, yeah. And be done with it, right? But no, he loves the spotlight, he's Trumpian in that sense. But Trump, you're supposed to be, you're the president, for you to be like, oh, I wish I hadn't gotten him out. Oh yeah, na-na-na-na, boo-boo, you're such a child. Okay, and lastly, about his supporters. If I went around saying like, why haven't you thanked Obama for this? Why haven't you thanked Obama for that, huh? Like, what do I, like, how sad, like what a sycophantic, sad existence to, like, oh, Obama's the best. Oh, why haven't you thanked him? You should all be thanking him. He's the greatest. That means you're so pathetic. You're like, oh, the alpha male is so great. I love him.
But here's another ironic part about all of it. It's like, we're the party of small government. We don't want the government to have too much power. And then simultaneously, you have to thank the president of the United States.
Like, bow your head to the government.
What?
Yeah, so no, we are not going to bow our head to the leader of your government. We're not betas like you. All right, what's next?
All right. I love doing updates on this woman because she's amazing. Earlier this week, a woman in Texas made headlines after a local sheriff called her out for having a bumper sticker that it contained some expletives in regard to Trump and those who voted in favor of Trump. Now, the sheriff, Troy Nels, had threatened prosecution against this woman because of the bumper sticker, but then realized that there were some First Amendment issues there and later took the Facebook post down. Because of this story, it turned out that there was a warrant out for her arrest, and she did end up getting arrested but posted bail. And then there's the other component of the story that I love. She started selling these bumper stickers, and they have sold out. They are now back ordered. So there is Karen Fonseca, the woman that I was talking about. And yes, she is selling the bumper stickers that you see behind her. She even created a new bumper sticker in response to Sheriff Troy Nels. And so that happened. The proceeds from these sales will go toward voter registration drives that will help elderly voters get to the polls.
And just to rub it in a little bit more, one of the people helping her is a Fort Bend area Democrat named Ali Hassan Ali.
I mean, the story is just, there's so many twists and turns.
Yeah, and he says, you know, they'll make more stickers. It's a note to freedom, so I'm sure the right wingers would like it. You know, don't tread on me, Semper Fi and all that stuff, right? I got my right as an American to put anything I like on my pickup truck.
Yeah.
And if the big government wants to try to prevent me from my freedom of speech, well, we do live in Texas, so, you know, they can stick it.
So look, I don't know how Republicans in general are reacting to this, but I did read several comments, so this is anecdotal, several comments from Republicans in Texas who are like, what Sheriff Troy Nels is trying to do here is outrageous. Like, they were against the fact that the sheriff was going after this woman, even though they were Trump voters and didn't agree with the bumper sticker.
I like that it says not only F Trump, but F you for voting for him.
I mean, that's strong.
I mean, that lady's got some balls on her.
She does. I honestly, I wouldn't go in that direction because you just don't know what unhinged people would do. And that's your car. I mean, at the very least, I would expect it to get keyed just based on how crazy people are. But she feels courageous enough to do it. So do you, boo.
Well, she rolls Texas style and you got to respect that. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have time for the other story, right?
We don't. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So then let me tell you a couple of things. So yes, I am going to put out a statement in about 7 minutes or so at 8:05 on Jordan Chariton. For the guys on the radio, I'm sorry. There's a reason why it has to be past 8 o'clock Eastern, and it's going to come at 8:05. And tytnetwork.com will have it here. Obviously, YouTube and Facebook where we stream as well. And so I'll clarify the situation. People have very legitimately been asking for clarification, and we will give that to you. And I'll explain why it took a while as well. Other than that, we obviously want you to have a happy Thanksgiving. We're going to be off the next couple of days. But actually, after the statement, I'm also doing Old School with Ben at 9 o'clock Eastern. That'll be much more relaxed and fun times, and we'll talk about fun topics as we always do. Obviously, to become a member, check out Old School Live and then later on tape, Aggressive Progressive later this weekend, tytnetwork.com/join. And we appreciate that. And finally, as we've been telling you throughout the show, we are having this sale. We don't have the F Trump stickers at shoptyt.com, but
we do not.
But we do have other fun things. Like we have a shirt that says nasty, like the like the mayor of San Juan wore.
Right?
Like
that's awesome.
For a nasty woman. I wore it around jogging the other day.
You did?
Yeah, because I'm nasty.
I want that shirt.
Well, you should get it. It's at shoptyt.com. Okay, Christmas sweater is today, but there's 10 days of sale for Black Friday. So go check out the sale on all the products. There it is. That gives you warm and fuzzy feelings and will also keep you warm, literally. So text DEAL to 228466 plus shoptyt.com. All right, thank you guys. Have a great, great Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to give you guys a statement about Jordan Chariton. Of course, people have been legitimately asking about that issue, and we wanted to address it. We wanted to address it much earlier, but we couldn't because we were offering Jordan an ability to take a resignation. He has turned that down. And so I'm here to tell you now that Jordan Chariton has been fired from the Young Turks. We conducted and completed an investigation. It was an internal investigation. We could not talk to a lot of the people involved, including the accusers, because they don't work for us. And for a long time, we did not even know who some of them were. Truth Against the Machine has nothing to do with the Young Turks. That was a side project that Jordan set up. So what we did in our internal investigation was we assumed what would happen even in the best case scenario for Jordan. And so I'm not saying that that was a scenario. We did not conduct an investigation as to whether any kind of sexual assault happened. That is for other authorities to deal with. And I'm not saying that the best case scenario is a correct one for Jordan. I'm not saying anything about that because we didn't investigate that. In our investigation, assuming a best case scenario, even in that scenario, here's what we found. So he ran a side business and unfortunately used our company to effectuate that business. Truth Against the Machine was a thing that I thought was a little side project with a couple of volunteers. It turns out that we did not know, nor did he communicate to us, the scale of it, where they were having conferences or conventions, and there were a number of people being paid through this operation. Again, we have nothing to do with Truth Against the Machine, and the fact that any of our resources were used in that regard is deeply troubling to us. Then he unfortunately brought in women that report into him at whatever that organization is, and also some TYT employees into a hotel room, and in other instances, several other intimate settings. That is clearly unacceptable. That is very poor management decisions that he made, and clear firing offenses. So without going into what happened or did not happen in those rooms, for a manager to bring in women into his room And according to his own admissions, not only internally, but in posts that he then put publicly, have sexual relations with them is not acceptable. So if you don't agree with that and you think, hey, bosses should be allowed to sleep with people who work underneath them and keep bringing people into their rooms, okay, then we're going to disagree. We offered to allow him to resign and take a severance, and we gave him all the way to Wednesday because we were trying to do the right thing. And he has decided not to do that. And in the meanwhile, he has attacked us over and over publicly. Since he's not resigning, I'm telling you right now that we fired him. He has refused to talk to us. He got an attorney, and he's saying, no, I don't want to hear it. I want you to tell my attorney. And his attorney has done nothing but threats since then. So what he didn't tell you in one of those posts that he put up, the original one, was that he said that he was doing radical transparency. But he neglected to mention that the woman that he was talking about in very intimate details was someone who reported into him at Truth Against the Machine. That's a pretty important detail to leave out and not what I would call radical transparency. He then misstated that we didn't do an internal investigation when he wouldn't even talk to us about that investigation. We reached out to him to have that conversation and he kept referring us to his lawyer. And then, of course, he said things like we did it for corporate reasons. I don't know what that means. Here's why we did it. We did it to protect the people that work here and make sure that we have professional management in place. Now, look, Jordan in the past has done good work for us. He broke a number of stories that were very important. This does not erase that. And it is actually super sad that it has come to this. And I believe in second chances. So I hope and believe that he can learn from these, what I consider to be mistakes. And I don't want people writing him off forever. Again, whatever happened in those rooms, that is for other people to determine. And it is a really important issue. And I'm not saying anything about that in this regard. So, you know, I hope he can learn from it, and I think he can go on to do good work again. But right now, obviously, we have to do what is right for the employees here and everyone else concerned. So, I'm not going to say anything about anything more about this for now because he's threatened litigation, and of course, lawyers want me to read a statement that is on a prompter and carefully crafted and PR machine behind it and all that. No, I'm telling you as I always do, I wrote down my notes and I'm telling you what happened to the best of my ability. And part of it is I actually also want to protect Jordan's privacy. No matter how public he's been and no matter what he's done, there are things that that we don't need to talk about any further because this situation is resolved. And I wish it didn't go down this way, but it did. So I hope, like I said, I'm going to reiterate it, that he learns from this and can move past it and go on to do good work and good reporting again. But for now, this is the situation at hand, and we clearly had to make this decision for the purpose of everyone who works here. So I hope you guys understand that, and that's all.